May Allah's peace and blessings be on you. Welcome to the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. There's a rock inside this building, directly under this great dome. This rock, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sent to the heavens. This event is known as Miraj in the religion of Islam. In the same area, there is the Grand Mosque of Omar, the best engineered structure with a very fine natural sound system inside the mosque. This entire area, which includes the Dome of the Rock and the Grand Mosque of Omar, is known as Al-Aqsa Mosque. The name Al-Aqsa Mosque has been given by Allah to this area. Refer to the Noble Quran, Surah Al-Isra, Ayah number 1. Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem is the third most sacred place for all Muslims of the world. The first sacred place is Kaaba in Mecca. Second is the Prophet's Mosque in Medina.
سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير.
The most authentic sources indicate that the events of Prophet Muhammad's journey to Jerusalem and from there his ascension to the heavens and back to Jerusalem and then to Mecca took place on the 27th night of the Islamic calendar month Rajab in the year before his migration from Mecca to Medina. Miraj is not a dream. Miraj is a miracle which constitutes an important part of the Muslim belief. Allah's knowledge comprehends all things without the curtain of time or separation of space. He can therefore see and hear all things. Miraj was a reflection of this might and knowledge without time or space. In the Noble Quran, the word Asra has been used to hint at this event, whereas the word Miraj was used by Prophet Muhammad himself to describe this event. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. Asra means walking during the night, and Miraj means ladder. The details of this event have been very well described by Prophet Muhammad himself. You may read the Hadith book Sahih al-Bukhari. However, we are presenting a summary of this great event, Isra and Miraj, which is one of the important beliefs in Islam. It was the year 621 AD. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was resting one night in Mecca when Angel Gabriel awakened him and invited him to the journey ordered by Allah. Gabriel then brought to him an animal with wings, which was white in color and was called Barak because of its ultra-fast speed. The Barak could step a distance equal to the range of its vision. The Prophet was mounted on this super-fast creature, and at once he found himself in Jerusalem at the area of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Here in Jerusalem, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, led the prayers. Behind him in the prayers were all the prophets and messengers of Allah, including Adam, Abraham, Isa, Moses, David, etc. May Allah's peace be on all of them. Prophet Isa was raised up and was never crucified. However, Christians call him Jesus and believe that he was crucified. Now the Miraj occurred when the Prophet ascended to the heavens with Angel Gabriel. Prophet narrates that our planet Earth looked like a small piece of sand inside a big desert. He mentioned that the color of the sky was dark green. Please note that his ascension started from this rock. Later in the history, this beautiful building was constructed around and above the rock to preserve the memory of this great miracle of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is one of the major reasons why Jerusalem is a sacred place for Muslims. The Prophet ascended several heavens and saw the beautiful and great signs of Allah at each station. He was shown a few signs of paradise and hell. He also met prophets at different heavens. He met Adam at the first heaven, Yahya and Jesus at the second, Yusuf at the third, Idris at the fourth, Harun at the fifth, Moses at the sixth, Ibrahim at the seventh. Allah's peace and blessings be on all of them. The Prophet went beyond the seventh heaven, where even the greatest angel could not go. This is known as Sidratul Muntaha, the ultimate boundary. Here, the Prophet was in the presence of the Almighty. Exchange of greetings took place between the Prophet and Allah. The same greetings are recited by every Muslim in the second segment of each prayer. It is during this meeting, Allah prescribed 50 prayers per day for all Muslims. However, the Prophet prayed for the reduction in number of prayers. They were finally reduced to 5 per day, with the reward equal to 50 prayers. The Prophet then returned to Jerusalem from where he had started his ascension. From Jerusalem, he returned to his home in Mecca the same night. The Prophet traveled such huge distances in such a short time with an ultra-high speed beyond the comprehension of the human mind. Next morning, when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, narrated this event to people around him, Muslims believed him immediately, but the non-Muslims refused to believe this miracle. The Prophet was asked about the details of the city of Jerusalem. He described the several gates and other places of the city of Jerusalem accurately, even though everyone knew that he had never visited Jerusalem before. But the people of the Quraysh tribe refused to believe him. He found the people of Yathrib, which was later named as Medina, to be the most helpful and believing in Islam. The event of Isra and Miraj was a turning point in the Islamic propagation work by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The Prophet Muhammad could have been taken to heavens and brought back directly to Mecca. Instead, Jerusalem was used as a station to ascend and descend. Why? Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has predicted in his hadith that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, will descend. The Christians also believe that Jesus will come back to this earth in the area of Jerusalem. Once again, Jerusalem is the focal point or the station to ascend or descend. According to Islam, Judaism and Christianity in their original forms were also the segments of Islam and were sent by God, the one and the only one, through his messenger Moses and Jesus, peace be upon them. However, their followers later in the history modified the original teachings to make them look like different religions. It is through Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, God, the one and the only one, who is known as Allah in the Quran, finalized religion, and that is the religion of Islam today. Let us read the Quran. Surah 4, Ayah 163. We have inspired you just as we inspired Noah and the prophets following him, and as we inspired Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the patriarchs, and Jesus, Job, Jonah, Aaron, and Solomon, and just as we gave David the Psalms. Ayah number 164. We have told you about some messengers sent previously, while other messengers we have not yet told you about. God spoke directly to Moses. Anyway, this beautiful land of Jerusalem, known as the land of the prophets, has borne the missions of such great prophets of history like Abraham, David, Solomon, Moses, Jesus, and many more. This great land of Jerusalem finally received Prophet Muhammad, who led all the prophets of Allah in prayer, and Allah named the area of prophets ascend and descend as Al-Aqsa Mosque. Before Kaaba in Mecca was ordered by Allah as the place to face during the prayers, Prophet Muhammad and his followers used to face towards Jerusalem at the time of prayers. It is this magnetism that has forced three communities to this land: the Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews. Prophet Muhammad said the day of judgment will be in Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, within your hills and green plains lies the history of those great men who spent their lives spreading the word of Allah. O Jerusalem, in your beautiful streets and stone walls are the memories of those men whose names have been praised by Allah. O Jerusalem, when will the truth be known? O Jerusalem, when will the peace come to your land? History has recorded that around 3000 BC, a civilization called Canaan tribe existed in Jerusalem. These people were not Jews, and they were Arabs in their origin. Their king, Melchizedek, met Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, while the prophet was on his way to Egypt. Jerusalem at that time was known as Yabus. The existence of Canaan tribe was mentioned in Torah, which is also known as the Old Testament. Later in the history, a Jewish tribe known as Binyamin migrated to Jerusalem and lived with the Canaan tribe. Binyamin was the brother of Prophet Yusuf, peace be upon him, who in turn was one of the 12 sons of Prophet Yaqub, peace be upon him. All the 12 sons were of the Jewish faith. The family of each son is known as a tribe, hence there were 12 such Jewish tribes. During the time of Prophet David, peace be upon him, the Jews became powerful in Jerusalem. Prophet David was in the family tree of Prophet Abraham and his wife Sarah. Prophet David's son Solomon, who was also a prophet, built a temple in Jerusalem for the worship of Allah. Let not the name temple mislead us. It was a mosque to worship Allah, the one and only one God, and David was his messenger. There was no idol worship in this temple. The Solomon Temple was built around 597 BC. In 63 BC, the Romans conquered Jerusalem and appointed Herod, a Jewish person, as the governor of Jerusalem. It is during the time of Herod, Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, was born in Bethlehem. At this time, the Jewish society had already slipped from the true religion, and Torah had experienced changes. Jesus was born to Virgin Mary, and no man had touched her. This was the miracle of Jesus, and has been stated in the Quran. He spoke when he was a baby. Prophet Jesus revived the true teachings of Torah. His miracles and the fact that he was born to Virgin Mary led the people to misunderstand that the Son of God had come to this planet Earth. Allah revealed in the Quran that Jesus was a human being. Allah does not have a son, nor any family. There is no Trinity in Islam. Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, criticized the Jews for not following the true teachings of Torah during his mission. Jesus predicted the arrival of the last prophet, Ahmed. Quran and the Gospel of Barnabas state this truth. Jesus received revelation of Allah, and the revelation is known as Injil, or Bible. However, the Bible later on in the history experienced changes. The criticism of Jesus, peace be upon him, brought indignation among Jews. They wanted to eliminate him from their society, even though Jesus was from their family of Abraham and Sarah. The Jews conspired and influenced the Roman governor to kill Jesus. The Roman soldiers came to arrest Jesus, but they found a person of the likeness of Jesus, and they put him on the cross. They let the wrong man carry the cross, and he was crucified. The Honorable Quran very clearly states that Prophet Jesus was raised up and was not killed nor crucified. The people believed that Jesus was the Son of God and was crucified by the Romans, who were supported by the Jews. This primary belief started Christianity in Jerusalem. In 313 AD, Constantine accepted Christianity and declared this religion as the religion of the Byzantine Empire. His mother Helena built a beautiful church in 326 AD known as the Holy Sepulchre. The Christians believe that this is the place where Jesus was put on the cross and was crucified. They also believe that after Jesus died, his body was taken down and laid on the ground. Then he was buried in a grave which was dug near the cross. They then believed that Jesus rose from the dead and was raised up. Of course, Islam does not agree with the sequences of the event as we have explained before. The Holy Sepulchre is visited by millions of Christians from all parts of the world. It is also written that the wife of Constantine ordered the destruction of Solomon Temple and made the site of the Solomon Temple a trash dump for the people of Jerusalem. The Torah had predicted the arrival of the last prophet, who was usually known as Ahmed. Three Jewish tribes from Yemen, Banu Qurayza, Bani Nadir, and Kainuka, migrated to Medina, which was known as Yathrib at that time, and began to wait for the arrival of the seal of the prophet, as per the instructions in the Torah or Old Testament. Of course, the seal of the prophets has been referred to be Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the Quran, who was born in Mecca in 570 AD and migrated to Medina at the age of 53. Islam gained strength in Medina. Jews who were waiting for the last prophet for a long time in Medina rejected Prophet Muhammad when he actually arrived, fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament. This was a great shock of all times. The Jews heard the Quran, but they declined to recognize the prophet. Why? Why? Jews were expecting that the last prophet would come from their family tree of Abraham and his wife Sarah. Several prophets like Yaqub, Yusuf, Moses, and Jesus came from the family tree of Abraham and Sarah. But Prophet Muhammad came from the family tree of Prophet Abraham and Hagar, who was his second legal wife. The Jews never recognized Hagar as Abraham's legal wife with full rights because she was a slave before she was married. Prophet Abraham freed her from slavery and married her with full rights of a wife. Hagar, once a slave, was not given the rank of the wife, even though Prophet Abraham freed her and married her. Prophet Ishmael, peace be upon him, was the son of Prophet Abraham and his wife Hagar. Prophet Muhammad's arrival from the Hagar family tree was not acceptable to the Jews, and they rejected him. Later, the statement in Torah about Prophet Muhammad were removed. Let us read the translation of the ayahs from the Noble Quran. Surah number 2, ayah number 87. We gave Moses the book and followed him up with messengers later on. We gave Jesus, the son of Mary, evidence and assisted him with the Holy Spirit. Yet every time some messenger comes to you with what you yourselves do not fancy, why do you act so overbearing? One group you have rejected while another group you would like to kill. Ayah number 91. Whenever someone tells them, believe in what God has sent down, they say, we believe only in what has been sent down to us, while they disbelieve in what has come after that, even though it is the truth confirming what they already have. Here is the town of Hebron, a few miles from Jerusalem. I was told that in this historical building were the graves of Prophet Abraham, his wife Sarah, Prophet Yusuf, etc., peace be upon them. I thanked Allah for this great opportunity to be with these prophets of Allah. I and my friends went inside the building and prayed 2 rakats. We were given a small place to pray, whereas the big hall was occupied by the rabbis who were praying. This building was under the Muslim rule for centuries, but now it is under the Israeli government. We did not try to go to the big hall because of the Israeli soldiers with open machine guns and rifles. O Prophet Abraham, may Allah's peace be upon you. You preached the oneness of God and erected the flag of Islam. Your submission to the will of Allah is a great example for the mankind. Allah has praised you in the Quran numerous times. Allah blessed you with a family from which came many prophets, like Prophet Moses, Prophet Jesus, and the last messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them. When will the peace come to this blessed land of Jerusalem? The Christians joined the Jews in rejecting Prophet Muhammad because they believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and Jesus will give them salvation on the Day of Judgment, and that Jesus belonged to the family of the Jews and not to the Arabs. After the migration to Medina, Islam gained strength and Prophet Muhammad established the Islamic State in Medina. One of his efforts was to spread Islam in the Roman lands. Of course, he first inviting him to Islam. Please note that this information is being extracted from the works of Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah bin Abbas, and Abdullah bin Amr bin As, the three most authentic Islamic scholars in Arabic. After the conquest of Mecca, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, led an army of 30,000 soldiers and went towards Tabuk in the present Jordan borders to defeat the Romans. However, at Tabuk, the Romans withdrew their forces and left Tabuk. The Prophet continued his advance into the Roman lands and finally conquered Eilat, the critical seaport of the Eastern Roman Empire. It may be noted that during the 1967 war, Muslims lost this city to Israel. This is the city where Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, stood in victory and erected the flag of Islam. After the capture of Eilat, the Prophet returned to Medina, and it took him almost 1 year to complete this expedition. Prophet Muhammad's interest to spread Islam in the Roman lands continued to the last days of his life. While he was on his deathbed, he ordered an attack on the Romans in the north. He appointed a young man, Usama bin Zayd, to lead this expedition. Prophet Muhammad passed away in 632 AD. Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, was elected the caliph of the expanding Islamic State. The caliph sent six armies, four to Syria and two to Iraq. Abu Ubaidah was the commander of the army to Homs and Hama, Yazid bin Abu Sufyan to Damascus, Amr bin As to Palestine, and Shirah bin Hazna to Jordan. Khalid bin Walid and Musana bin Harith were sent to Iraq as commanders of the armies. Khalid bin Walid was also given the task of helping another Muslim army as required. Of course, the news of advancing Muslim armies excited the Romans so much that they gathered the biggest army, almost 3 to 4 times the Muslim army in number, with excellent equipment and warheads, spears, swords, and helmets. They had excellent training in war. The Roman strategy was to accumulate in the big flat fields of Golan Heights, where their huge army could fight without natural hindrances. The march of the Roman army alerted the Muslim armies. Khalid bin Walid was ordered to immediately move toward the west to help the Muslim armies there against the Romans. Abu Ubaidah, who had occupied Homs and Hama, withdrew from these cities, refunded the jizya tax to the citizens, and moved southward. Khalid bin Walid was marching fast through the cruel desert with the best speed possible to save the Muslim army from the Romans. The Romans were marching forward with full power and confidence toward the Golan Field to isolate the Muslim armies in the north from their armies in the south. Heroic Khalid bin Walid finally met the southern armies near Yarmouk River when the Romans found out that the Muslim armies from the north were running fast toward the south. They thought the Muslims, after looting the Roman cities, were running away in fear to their lands. Hence, the Romans, instead of gathering in the Golan Fields, they began to follow the Muslim army southward so that they can finish them. But this was the great idea of Khalid bin Walid, to get the Romans out of the flat Golan area and trap them in the hilly and rough area of Yarmouk, where the Romans would not be able to survive because of the rough terrain and their heavy metallic dresses. As the Romans began to pour into the Yarmouk area, the Muslim armies began to cut them fast. This process was continued till a significant part of the Roman army was killed by the Muslim army. Then Khalid bin Walid marched northward and completed the battle with Romans. The Muslim victory at Yarmouk was a landmark in the Islamic history. The news of this great victory scared the Roman Christians, and the subsequent Muslim conquests were easy. After the victory at Yarmouk, the Muslim armies conquered Damascus and Homs. Then they marched along the coast of Palestine. A decision had to be made about the next military strategy. The caliph was the head of the Islamic State and also was the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. his orders had to be taken for the next move. This is the way the Islamic government was run by the caliphs. The Muslim expeditions were well organized and all levels of authority were respected. Abu Ubaidah wrote a letter to the caliph in Medina requesting his orders whether he should attack Jerusalem or Caesarea. There in Medina, Caliph Omar called all his advisors, who were all companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and made a shura with them. After numerous suggestions and discussions, Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, advised that the Muslim army must attack Jerusalem first and then Caesarea. Ali's idea was unanimously accepted by the entire council. It may be noted that Ali was the cousin and son-in-law of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the first person to convert to Islam among men and a great Islamic scholar. Later in the history, Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, became the fourth caliph of the huge Islamic state. Caliph Omar sent the orders to Abu Ubaidah. I begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. From the servant of Allah, Omar bin Khattab, to his deputy Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah in Syria, I thank Allah who has no partners. Greetings to his Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Your letter has arrived in which you are consulting me which place your next move should be. The cousin of Prophet Muhammad, Ali ibn Abi Talib, advised that you must march to Jerusalem first. Allah will let you conquer Jerusalem. Assalamu alaikum, Omar bin Khattab. Abu Ubaidah gave the Islamic flag to Khalid bin Walid and sent him first to Jerusalem with 5,000 horsemen. Then he sent Yazid bin Abu Sufyan with 5,000 horsemen, who went there after Khalid and roared the slogan, Allah is great. Hence, several segments of armies with their leaders came to Jerusalem, one after the other, with slogans of Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. The city was strongly fortified, and the Muslim armies surrounded the entire city and cut off all the outside supplies. The Christians inside the city showed no concern about the siege. On the fourth day, Commander Abu Ubaidah sent a letter to the Christians asking them to accept Islam. On the fifth day of the siege, Yazid bin Abu Sufyan went near the wall of the city and spoke to an interpreter. He gave them three choices. Number one, accept Islam. Number two, pay jizya and be secured by the Islamic State. Or number three, fight. The people of Jerusalem refused all the three offers. The siege continued for 3 months with no results. After 3 months of embargo, the Roman Christians inside the city began to feel the pinch. They came to the patriarch Sophronius and complained about the problems of food shortage in the city. He told the people that if the caliph of the Muslim army would come here, our defeat would be inevitable. The Christians asked him why. Sophronius said that a certain knowledge has been inherited, and the old books indicated that a tall colored person with big eyes, who would be the leader of the people and who would be the companion of a prophet. If this leader would come to Jerusalem, it would be impossible to fight him and even challenge him. The patriarch told the Muslim leader that if their leader matches the description that he knows from the books, he would surrender Jerusalem to him. This information has been taken from the Arabic historians like Ibn Kathir, Ibn Athir, Al-Waqidi. Abu Ubaidah wrote a letter to Caliph Omar, may Allah be pleased with him, to come to Jerusalem and complete the conquest of Jerusalem without bloodshed. Caliph Omar decided to travel to Jerusalem. During his absence from Medina, Caliph Omar appointed Ali ibn Talib in charge. Caliph Omar followed Quran and Sunnah to the literal meaning. He left Medina with a camel and one helper. He decided to walk half and half and his helper the same. When they came to Jerusalem, it was his helper's turn to sit on the camel and Omar's turn to walk. The Christian Romans were highly impressed by Omar's act of justice and concern for his servant. Caliph Omar, may Allah be pleased with him, was well received by the leaders of the army, and the caliph came and stood on the hill of Mukabir with the roaring slogans, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. They mounted the flag of Islam on this mountain and viewed the city of Jerusalem. The patriarch Sophronius sent a person to meet the caliph and provide him his description. Then Sophronius himself viewed the caliph through the windows of his fort carefully and was convinced that the caliph Omar matched the description he had learned from the books. He consented to surrender the city to the Muslim fight. Caliph Omar wrote the famous declaration of victory and signed it, witnessed by such great men of Islamic history, Khalid bin Walid, Amr bin al-As, Abdur Rahman bin Auf, Mavia bin Abu Sufyan. The Christian patriarch of Jerusalem, Sophronius, asked Caliph Omar to include in his declaration that Jews be not permitted to stay in Jerusalem. This was one of the conditions of surrender of Jerusalem to the Muslim Caliph Omar by the Christians. The declaration was signed at the Mount of Olives. Now, let us read this declaration of victory by Caliph Omar.
العهدة العمرية أخذ نص هذه العهدة من كتابي البداية والنهاية لابن كثير الجزء السابع صفحة 56 الكامل في التاريخ لابن الأثير الجزء الثاني صفحة 349 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هذا ما أعطى عبد الله عمر أمير المؤمنين أهل إيلياء من الأمان أعطاهم أمانا لأنفسهم وأموالهم ولكنائسهم وصلبانهم وسقيمها وبريئها وسائر ملتها أنه لا تسكن كنائسهم ولا تهدم ولا ينتقص منها ولا من خيرها ولا من صلبهم ولا من شيء من أموالهم ولا يكرهون على دينهم ولا يضار أحد منهم ولا يسكن بإيلياء معهم أحد من اليهود وعلى أهل إيلياء أن يعطوا الجزية كما يعطي أهل المدائن وعليهم أن يخرجوا منها الروم واللصوص ومن خرج منهم فإنه آمن على نفسه وماله حتى يبلغوا مأمنه ومن أقام منهم فهو آمن وعليه مثل ما على أهل إيلياء من الجزية ومن أحب من أهل إيلياء أن يسير بنفسه وماله مع الروم ويخلى بيعهم وصلبهم وأنهم آمنون على أنفسهم حتى يبلغوا مأمنه ومن كان بها من أهل الأرض فمن شاء قعد وعليه مثل ما على أهل إيلياء من الجزية ومن شاء سار مع الروم ومن شاء رجع إلى أهله لا يؤخذ منهم شيء حتى يحصد حصادهم وعلى ما في هذا الكتاب عهد الله وذمة رسوله وذمة الخلفاء وذمة المؤمنين إذا أعطوا ما عليهم من الجزية التوقيع أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب كتب وحضر سنة 15 للهجرة شهد على ذلك خالد بن الوليد عمرو بن العاص عبد الرحمن بن عوف معاوية بن أبي سفيان
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, this document was given by the servant of Allah, Omar the Commander of the Faithful, to the citizens of Jerusalem as a security for themselves and their properties, their churches with their crosses, the sick and healthy, and all their followers. Their churches must not be possessed nor destroyed, not anything to be taken out of them. None of their offsprings or of their wealth is to be taken out. They are not to be forced to abandon their religion, nor to be oppressed. Not any Jew has the right to live in this city. The people of Jerusalem must pay jizya tax like those of the other cities. They must drive the Romans away. He who leaves the city on his own will and wish he and his relatives and his wealth will be protected until he reaches the destination. And he who chooses to stay in the city will be protected by us and has to pay jizya tax. If an immigrant of Jerusalem wishes to leave the city with a Roman or return to his original country, he has the right to do so and will be secured along with his wealth and relatives until he reaches the safe destination. All other residents in the city have the right to stay and pay jizya tax. No jizya shall be collected, partial or full, from anyone until the crops are harvested. This document is secured by the vow of Allah and his apostle and the vows of the caliphs and all Muslims subject to the payment of jizya. Signed, Omar bin Khattab. Witnessed by such great men of Islamic history, Khalid bin Walid, Amr bin al-As, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, Mavia bin Abu Sufyan. Caliph Omar and the entire Muslim army moved into the city peacefully, and Caliph Omar immediately ordered the identification of the rock from which Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had ascended to the heavens. The rock was identified. It was covered with dust. The Caliph and the companions of the Prophet Muhammad personally cleaned this rock with their own clothes. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had mentioned about this rock in his narration of Miraj. There was nothing else in this area. It was a land full of dirt. The Caliph then decided to build a mosque toward the south of this rock, and not to the north, because he did not want the rock to be in between the mosque and Mecca. The mosque was built about 500 feet to the south of the rock. It was the mosque built with wooden planks. Prayers were held. The Caliph Omar marked the boundary of the entire area, including the rock and the mosque. This entire area, approximately 140 acres, was identified as Al-Aqsa Mosque. Of course, the name Al-Aqsa Mosque comes from the Honorable Quran. It may be noted that in Mecca, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions prayed facing Jerusalem for 16 months. Then they were ordered by Allah to face Kaaba in Mecca, and thereafter Kaaba became the Qibla for all the Muslims in the world. Next, Caliph Omar, may Allah be pleased with him, went into the city, and the Christians took him to the Holy Sepulchre. It was the time for afternoon prayer. The Christians told him that he could do Islamic prayers in the Holy Sepulchre, but Caliph Omar declined. He said that if he prayed in this church, the future generations of Muslims would destroy this church and build a mosque in its place. Hence, he moved out of the Holy Sepulchre and performed his prayers along with his leaders in a place next to the church. It was the year 637 AD. A mosque was later built to remember the tolerance of Caliph Omar. Here is that mosque which reminds the world the great character of Caliph Omar, who respected the belief of others and protected their place of worship, even though he himself did not believe in it. Jerusalem became a part of the Islamic State, and those who did not accept Islam were given full freedom to practice their own religion. The non-Muslims were obligated to pay poll tax, called jizya, to be protected by the Islamic State. When I look at this mosque, those scenes of the heroes of Islam come to mind. What a great place this is. Here Islam proved the tolerance of Christianity. Islam showed the noblest character of all times. Tolerance of their beliefs, respected their beliefs, and gave them full freedom to practice their faith. However, later in the history, the Christians turned against the Muslims, tortured them, exterminated them because of their religion, like in Spain and now in Bosnia. What a reward the Muslims got for their tolerance of Christianity. After appointing officers of administration in Jerusalem, Caliph Omar appointed Yazid ibn Abu Sufyan as the governor of Jerusalem under the supervision of Abu Ubaidah. He also appointed an imam for the Mosque of Al-Aqsa. People of Jerusalem greeted the Muslims and welcomed the Islamic rule. Caliph Omar went back to Medina, the capital of the Islamic State. However, a few companions of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, stayed in Jerusalem because of its great history. They lived and died here. Now, let us visit the place of rest of Salman al-Farsi, who was the companion of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in Medina. He is famous for the help he rendered to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, during the Battle of Trench in Medina. It was Salman Farsi's idea to dig a trench around Medina which would hinder the army of Abu Sufyan from Mecca. Prophet liked Salman's wisdom and dedication to Islam. Salman originally came from Iran, and he was a fire worshipper before he became a Christian, and then, under the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he became a Muslim and earned a great name in the Islamic history. O Salman Farsi, Assalamu alaikum. May Allah's blessings be on you. How lucky I am today to visit you. O Allah, give the Muslims the guidance as you gave to Salman Farsi. O Allah, guide the Muslims to unity as you did to the people of Medina, who fought and sacrificed for their honor, who were united on Islam, who were united with the Prophet, who defeated the non-believers, who outnumbered them, and who set up an example for the future Muslims. After the assassination of Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, the capital of Islamic State moved to Damascus, where Muawiyah bin Abu Sufyan became the caliph. Muawiyah took allegiance from Muslims as the caliph in Jerusalem. The caliphate founded by Muawiyah is known as Umayyad Caliphate because Caliph Muawiyah named the successors to come from his own family tree, and this family tree was known as Umayyah in the name of his great-grandfather Umayyah. This family was the ruler of Mecca till Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, conquered the city. The Umayyad Caliphate was in accordance with Quran and Sunnah, and the caliph was elected. But the only difference was the succeeding caliphs were always from their own family. People from outside the family tree could not be elected as the caliph. The Umayyad Caliph Abdul Malik ibn Mirwan ordered the construction of the Dome of the Rock building over and around the rock from where Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, ascended to heavens. He gathered the most talented engineers, architects, and builders. The construction began in 685 AD and was completed in 6 years. The octagonal building became the most attractive building in Jerusalem, decorated with the most beautiful Muslim art ever seen. Gold and silver were used as ordinary metals. Abu Mikdam al-Kindi was appointed as the project manager of this construction. First, a small-scale model was built to prove the art and design. It was personally approved by the Caliph Abdul Malik. Then, the full-scale construction was started. The rock was circled with silk curtains. Every Monday and Thursday, the caretakers of the building used to clean the rock and sprinkle perfumes over it. The sweet smell of the perfumes could be felt outside the building as far as the bazaars or the marketplaces in Jerusalem. All doors were covered with gold plates. Abdul Malik's son, Caliph Walid, during his time, made improvements. Famous historian Sayuti wrote in his book, The History of Al-Aqsa, that the Umayyad Caliph used to give him silver to distribute to the reciters of Quran in the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Around the beautiful building is carved Surah Yasin from the Quran. Perhaps this is the most beautiful calligraphy in the world. The tile work on the Dome of the Rock is also the best ever seen in the world. Dome of the Rock presents the finest Islamic art and architecture with the magnificent dome and its internal carvings and colors. The Umayyads put their heart and minds into this building. The Dome of the Rock is the most beautiful building today in Jerusalem. Caliph Abdul Malik wanted Dome of the Rock to surpass all other buildings and churches in Jerusalem, and he succeeded in his ambition. Here is the small structure near the Dome of the Rock. It was the mihrab for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where he led the prayers for all the prophets before his ascension to heaven. Here is another remarkable place. It is here that Angel Gabriel stopped the Burak and tied it to these stones. May Allah's peace and blessings be on Prophet Muhammad, the last messenger of Allah. The cave underneath the rock is known as the Cave of the Souls. It is believed that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, prayed in this cave. While I was taking the film of this area, my heart was heavy and I was trembling. This is perhaps Allah's gateway to the heavens. O Allah, forgive me. The Mosque of Omar to the south of the Dome of the Rock was also built at the same time. Of course, there was the mosque built by Caliph Omar, but that was a simple wooden structure which was failing. Caliph Abdul Malik had this most sturdy structure built in its place. Perhaps his dream was to build this mosque so strong that it would remain there till the last day. The mosque has the most efficient natural sound system. When I was attending the Friday prayer, I heard every word of the Imam's lecture, even at the entrance door, as clear as the Dolby stereo. This mosque is the prestige of the Muslim world. The big columns and the beautiful mihrab and the lofty structure are the reminders once again of the talents of those brave and dedicated believers of Islam, whose main theme in their life was to serve Islam. That was the age of faith. On Fridays, the women do their prayers in the Dome of the Rock, and the men do it in the Mosque of Omar. I saw at least 50,000 people in the mosque for the Friday prayer. The security was extremely tight. I was checked all over, and my camera was not allowed. People came in buses, cars, camels, and by walk. The Israeli guards were all over the place with their machine guns ready to shoot. Muslims from places like Gaza Strip and many other parts of Jerusalem were not allowed to come to this mosque for Friday prayer. This is the third most sacred place for a Muslim, but some of the Muslims have been deprived of the right to pray at this holy place of Islam. It has been written that a prayer at Al-Aqsa Mosque is equivalent to 25,000 prayers in your own home. Muslim power gave freedom of religion to non-Muslims in Jerusalem, but now, when non-Muslims are in power, they do not give the Muslims the right to pray at their holy place of worship. What happened to the justice in this holy land of Jerusalem? Umayyads ruled for 92 years. Then the Abbasi family took over the caliphate, and the capital moved to Baghdad. Jerusalem was under their control for more than 300 years. The Christians lived with Muslims as brothers. There was peace and tranquility in the city. The European Christians used to come to Jerusalem for pilgrimage, and they were treated well by the Muslim authorities. The Shia sect in Islam was started as a political party during the period of the first four caliphs. The Shias claimed that the family of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, through his daughter Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her, deserved to be the caliphs or the heads of the Islamic State. However, Prophet Muhammad during his lifetime never expressed this idea. He did not appoint anyone as his successor. He wanted the people to decide and elect the head of the state. There was a continuous conflict from the Shias on the issue of political leadership in the Islamic history. One such conflict started when the Fatimid Caliphate was formed by the Shia sect in North Africa, their capital being Cairo, Egypt. The Abbasi Caliphate already existed in Baghdad. According to the saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, two caliphs for the Islamic State at the same time are not allowed. The capital punishment is imposed on the revolting caliph. The Fatimids conquered Jerusalem from the Abbasis in 975 AD. This brought demoralization among the Muslim leaders. Palestine and Jerusalem were controlled by Abbasis and the Fatimids alternately back and forth for several years. The Fatimids mistreated the visiting Christian pilgrims to Jerusalem. This sparked fear, concerns, and resentments among the Christian Europeans. The Abbasi Caliphate became weak in military. These internal conflicts among the Muslim leaders opened a great opportunity to the Christians of Europe.
Christians in Europe were not happy with the fact that Jerusalem was under the control of the Muslims. They believed that Jerusalem was the land where their Lord Jesus lived and where he was crucified. The entire Christian belief centered around the geography of Jerusalem. They called the Muslims infidels who had occupied their land. However, Muslims believed Jesus to be a prophet of Allah. And Islam is the only religion which gives respect to Prophet Jesus in a legal manner. On November 27, 1095 AD, Pope Urban II pronounced in Clermont, France, before the invited barons, that he was the pontiff of the whole world and had come there as a messenger to reveal the divine command. He said that the Turks and the Arabs had attacked the Christians and advanced into the territory of Romania and Bosphorus. Make haste to drive that vile breed from the regions inhabited by our brothers and to bring timely help to the worshippers of Christ, he said. Pope Urban II also wrote letters throughout France stating that the holy city of Christ, Jerusalem, made illustrious by his death and resurrection, had been brought into intolerable bondage. People rich and poor, princes and subjects, joined the march which started on the day of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin. The crusades against the Muslims to reconquer the Christian lands started. The humble people turned out in force so that they too could go and deliver Jerusalem and win back the tomb of Christ. It may be noted that according to Islam, the tomb of Jesus, peace be upon him, does not exist. The crusades against the Muslim power continued for almost 2.5 centuries. The struggle of the Christians against Islam was continuous during these 250 years. But the final victory came to Muslims. These 2.5 centuries of military conflict between the cross and the crescent are the most remarkable part of the history, in which the brave soldiers of Islam defended with the highest military character and at the same time respected Jesus as their prophet and treated their Christian subjects with fairness and compassion. Whereas the Europeans called them infidels and Arabs and looked down upon their culture, they marched south and established Christian kingdoms in Antioch and Tripoli in 1098 AD. Then they occupied Ram Allah, the present Tel Aviv airport, a city between the sea and Jerusalem. Godfrey, a leader among the crusaders, marched to Bethlehem and was greeted by the local Christians. On Friday, July 15, 1099, Jerusalem fell to the Christians after fierce fighting. The Fatimid governor, Iftikhar Dawlah, was defeated. On July 17, 1099 AD, the Christians began to slaughter the Muslim men, children, women, and old people mercilessly. Most of the Muslims had taken refuge in the Mosque of Al-Aqsa. The Christians went inside the mosque and slaughtered the people. The courtyard of Al-Aqsa Mosque was full of human bodies. The Christians killed 70,000 people of Jerusalem and called them infidels. Godfrey of Bouillon was elected as the advocate of the Holy Sepulchre. The Christians violated the teachings of the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, who said to love even the enemies. They converted the Dome of the Rock to a church. The crescent was removed from the dome and replaced by a cross. Inside the Dome of the Rock, the chips of sacred rock were sold in gold. But the main rock was preserved. The Mosque of Omar was converted to military offices and the basements became stables for horses. It seemed as if Islam was wiped out from Jerusalem. However, the determination of Muslims to reconquer Jerusalem from the Crusaders remained in their hearts. They were defeated, but they were not sleeping. The disunity among Muslim leaders, the conflicts between the Fatimids and the Abbasi Caliphates, were the main reasons for the loss of Jerusalem to Crusaders. Meanwhile, a great personality, Imaduddin Zenki, the ruler of Halab, began the task of uniting the Muslim leaders and gave his allegiance to the Abbasi Caliph of Baghdad. Under the great leadership of Zenki, the unified Muslim armies recaptured Urfa in 1145 AD. Zenki spent all his life fighting for Islam and uniting the Muslim leaders to rise against the Crusaders. The Muslim success at Urfa brought a new crusade from Europe under the leadership of Louis VII of France and Conrad of Germany, assisted by Baldwin III of Jerusalem. Their attempt to destroy Zenki's son, Mahmud Nuruddin, and attack Damascus failed. Nuruddin further unified the Muslim leadership in Syria, Jordan, and other southern lands. His general, Sherkuh, and his nephew, Saladin, were sent to Egypt, where a battle was fought against the Crusaders. The Crusaders lost the war. The Muslim leaders in the eastern parts always respected the Caliph of Baghdad, even though his powers were limited. The Caliph was a figurehead and a symbol of Islamic unity, and they always took his permission, which enhanced the morale of the Muslim communities. In 1169 AD, Sherkuh became the governor of Egypt, and the Fatimids were weakened. On March 23, 1169 AD, Shirku died and his nephew Saladin became the governor of Egypt under the Abbasi Caliphate of Baghdad. Let us look at the mosque of Imam Shafi in Cairo, Egypt, where Imam Shafi is also buried. Do you know that Saladin built a large Islamic school around this mosque to celebrate the great knowledge of Imam Shafi? With Saladin, the Muslims began to see a glimmer of hope. This star of Islamic history brought honor to Islamic history once again and revived the Islamic character which was almost lost at this time. His ambition was to free Jerusalem from the Crusaders. When the Crusaders attacked him in Egypt in 1170 AD, he defeated them, followed them and occupied Gaza, Ram Allah, and came near Jerusalem. He abolished the Fatimid Caliphate from Egypt. When Nuruddin died in 1170 AD, Saladin became the governor of Syria, Egypt, and occupied Damascus, Aleppo, and northern parts of Iraq. In 1183 AD, Saladin held an Islamic conference with the permission of the Caliph of Baghdad to unite the Muslim leaders and destroy the Crusaders. After 17 years of struggle, he was successful in uniting the Muslims under his leadership, and he became the most powerful leader of his time. Now, the unified Muslims surrounded the Crusaders from all sides. On July 5, 1187 AD, the Muslim armies and the Christian armies clashed at Hattin near the Lake Tavera. Christian armies from all the three Christian kingdoms, Jerusalem, Tripoli, and Antioch, were present in the battle. Victory came to Muslims and the 50,000 Crusaders were defeated and crushed. Saladin liberated the entire shore of Palestine from the Christians and then marched towards Jerusalem and came to the Damascus Gate. He gave them a chance to peacefully surrender, but the Christians did not agree. Hence, victory was won through battle, and Christians lost Jerusalem to Muslims. It was the year 1187 AD. His advisors proposed the destruction of Holy Sepulchre as a revenge against the oppression of Muslims. But Saladin did not touch the Holy Sepulchre and reminded the Muslims the agreement made by the Caliph Omar almost 550 years before. The Holy City, which was under the Crusaders for almost 90 years, now came under the Islamic rule again. During the 90 years of Christian rule, no Muslim was allowed to pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Saladin put a new pulpit in the Mosque of Omar. Do you know that this pulpit was burnt by a Jewish person in 1969 AD? The loss of Jerusalem to Muslims triggered a crusade in Europe. This time, Richard the Lionheart of England led the army and King Philip of France and Henry also came with him. Richard the Lionheart struggled alone near Jerusalem for more than 3 years to conquer the Holy City. But the brilliant Saladin never gave him a chance to reach Jerusalem. Saladin had his reinforcements near the area where Samuel's Mosque is located. Let us for a moment look at this historical place. This has been a military post for many centuries for all those who wanted to conquer Jerusalem. Saladin also had his army at Ramallah, near the present Tel Aviv airport. King Richard fell sick. Saladin sent his personal doctor to King Richard. Finally, King Richard gave up, signed a treaty, and then returned. Saladin, known as Salahuddin Ayyubi in Arabic, died on March 4, 1193 AD in Damascus and was buried there. The European historians remembered him as a great military general of righteous character and admired his courage and brilliance, even though they suffered defeats from him. The Muslims need a leader like Saladin today. O Saladin, may Allah bless you. You brought an honor to Islamic history. In 1258 AD, the great Abbasi Caliphate was totally devastated by the barbaric forces of Tartar. The Abbasi Caliphate had lasted for 767 years. A new group in Turkey declared Khilafa in 1326 AD, which later was known as Ottoman Caliphate. Muhammad Fateh conquered Istanbul from the Roman Christians and fulfilled the prediction of this victory by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.